Talk that matters. Johnny Vetmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vetmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. Remember, go to tntradio.live, get in the chat, and ask my guests or I some questions, like Dark Commission did earlier, or just make a comment or two. I love to have an interactive chat during my show, so I always look to bring your voices into the conversation if I can. But also, if you want to give me some suggestions about who you'd like to see come on the show, you can contact me via the TNT page or via X, where my DMs are always open, or via contact forms on newspace.com or johnnyvedmore.com, and I'd love to hear from you. And if there's a question I can't answer on the show for some reason and you're asking in the chat, then just come and DM me. I don't mind talking to people and having conversations. I like that. We have a busy day today. I've already been blessed with speaking with two people who are experts in their field. I have two more in the next hour too. We also have a really interesting week lined up, and it's my birthday on Thursday, yay, where I'll finally be 21 years old. This year will be wild. Not only will I be finally old enough to drive a transit van, but I'll also be looking to get involved in protests and events around the country. If you're attending a protest march or speaking event in 2024, then why not drop me a line via the contact form on TNT and see if I want to come along. Anyone who knows my work understands my love of street photography and police auditing. I am also regularly tagged by facial recognition, so I always have interesting interactions with the authorities, who love to target me right up until they realize how much of a pain in the ass I am. This happened to me last year. I was on a protest against those 15-minute cities in Cardiff, and it was a very interesting to see how the police now target independent journalists like myself. In fact, my right to peacefully protest was denied to me without any lawful reason being given. I had spent the first 30 minutes of the protest talking with some of the protesters, the protest organisers, and many of the police. I record everything I do when I'm out on auditing the police. So all of my completely peaceful interactions are still available to watch on YouTube. Rockfin and Rumble. And if you were to watch the entire encounter, you would be left wondering why the police stopped me. They formed an entire police line just for me, and they refused to let me walk with my fellow protesters. There are a few reasons why the police choose to single me out in these situations. Firstly, although I have no criminal record and I've never been arrested or convicted of any crime, some of my legal activity is regularly recorded on police databases as troublesome. I've got a special file that comes second to the criminal, to any criminal records that you have. You have a little other file with the police that they keep on people, just a general file. On some of the police audits I've recorded, the police have bought out police vans with facial recognition just to work out who I am. On one audit, they began using my name so that I'd know they knew who I was. The police haven't had facial recognition cameras for very long, but since they've deployed them, they have been abusing this technology to target lawful citizens. The AI technology increases in capability at an exponential rate. This abuse of power will also increase exponentially. The technology will soon be fully incorporated into body-worn police cameras, and the police will start to use your social media, your digital information, and any other data they have to target you. Imagine an AI program which scans all your online activity at high speed and looks for any occasion you might have overstepped the boundaries of the law. It won't even need to find an actual crime. Just something that is enough for the police to investigate, and they'll soon find a way of stopping you doing any legal activity which they don't want you engaged in. The people who become policemen and women are often not the best society has to offer. Sorry to all my wonderful police friends out there. Some are very good, of course. There are anomalies. But sometimes they only become police so that they can have power and control. AI technology will give the worst of them every ability to wield that power and control against their own citizens. There will be no more long conversations, no more diplomacy. They will find any reason to tag and bag you and get you off the street, even if it's only to stop you protesting. I am already experiencing this behavior. You will too, very soon. They're making it harder and harder for us to legally protest. There is a reason behind that. Your voices are dangerous because they express the human desire to be free. Now, just before we continue, how do you fancy a bank holiday weekend at a music festival for the Truth and Freedom Tribe with 30 awake artists, including Danny Rambling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, Bouncy Castle, and Hope Sussex for the Children, plus loads of amazing stalls of scrumptious food vendors? This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth in the world. A Stand in the Park and the Light Paper presents Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District, on May 24th to 27th. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus booking fee. Children under five come free. There's no better bargain anywhere. So visit our website now, or visit their website now, and make sure you don't miss out on what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole family. StandInTheLight.uk. If you want tickets there. Now, if you've missed any of your favorite TNT shows or interviews, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit an episode on TNT website. We are also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now, there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Columbia University has reportedly cancelled all in-person classes on Monday ahead of the start of Passover, citing safety concerns amid rising tensions on campus as pro-Palestine demonstrations continue. Back with us again with this story. Joining me is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Tell us more about these ne'er-do-wells on campus who don't want Israel to destroy Palestine. Go on.
Well, you know, first of all, I mean, seriously, like, you could go to multiple different outlets right now, just pick them at random, and you'll notice, like, there's this thing where these protesters get a different label depending on which media outlet is reporting it. Are they pro-Palestinian protesters or are they anti-Israel protesters? Maybe, Johnny, as I would normally perceive them to be, maybe they're anti-war protesters. Maybe in this particular instance, they might be anti-genocide protesters. But I digress. The thing that took place on October 7th also comes with different labels. So speaking of that, tensions across the United States of America at their university campuses have been pretty high ever since the October 7th, what is basically considered a terror attack, yes, on Israel by Hamas. However, this particular situation at Columbia has been escalating in recent days after university officials testified before Congress last week about anti-Semitism on campus. And that is where the pro-Palestinian protests there began. And we are now on day six, if I'm not mistaken. The embattled president of Columbia, Manoush Shafiq, who has vowed to crack down on said anti-Semitism, told students in an email that was also shared to the Ivy League College's website that they, quote, need a reset, end quote, Interesting. As the heated demonstrations enter now the sixth day, Shafiq writes, quote, I am deeply saddened by what is happening on our campus. Our bonds as a community have been severely tested in ways that will take a great deal of time and effort to reaffirm. Students across an array of communities have conveyed fears for their safety, and we have announced additional actions we are taking to address security concerns, end quote. Those fears expressed by many Jewish students were addressed on Sunday by a prominent rabbi at the prestigious school who urged Columbia and Barnard students to go home and stay there until conflicts on campus dissipate. Am I reading this correctly? Are we doing lockdowns and remote learning, not over the pandemic, not over climate change, but over anti-Semitism? Yes, yes, we are. And this is all thanks to Passover, which, of course, is a major Jewish holiday, which begins Monday evening. Shafiq said the tensions across the campus have been, quote, exploited and amplified by individuals who are not affiliated with Columbia, who have come to campus to pursue their own agendas, end quote. Oh my goodness, or is this sounding a lot more like what happened in 2020 during the Summer of Love protests? Furthermore, Shafiq says, quote, I understand that many are experiencing deep moral distress and want Columbia to help alleviate this by taking action. We should be having serious conversations about how Columbia can contribute, end quote. I can agree with that. Shafiq acknowledged there will be many opinions on how the university can do this, but noted they could not, quote, have one group dictate terms and attempt to disrupt important milestones like graduation to advance their point of view, end quote. Thus, which is why we are here today, where Shafiq has said that classes will be held virtually on Monday in attempts to de-escalate the situation on campus and take a, quote, unquote, reset. Now, these protesters, Johnny, very similar to what we saw happen. You know how some of these protests start out natural and organic and then some bad actors start rolling in and make everybody look bad. Things are starting to look bad, Johnny. We're seeing reports now where these alleged protesters that are anti-Israel, pro-Palestine, they're quoting them and showing them saying things like Hamas is going to, the October 7th attacks are going to happen every day. They're literally making actual violent threats now. And so things are getting rough right now, my friend. But what say you about this situation unfolding at the university campuses in America?
Very interesting that they turn around and say, you know, we won't have one side affect the other, any of the academic processes here. When that's what a protest is. So if you stop one side of a protest saying something, you're stopping protests and you're teaching the children, the young people, I shouldn't say children, the young people that the protests can be stopped if the powers that be don't want them. Now, America's got such a strange history with protest and got some real, I mean, I did a lot of work on Kent State Massacre when I was writing up the Pottinger articles. And you know, that was a protest against the entry into Cambodia by the Nixon administration as an extension to the Vietnam War so that they could place their troops around the back of the Vietnamese forces that they wanted to defeat. Of course, you had 4 days, I think it was 4 days of protest in Kent State. And on the last day, just before the National Guard fired on kids, on protesters who were at worst throwing stones at the National Guard. Just before that happened, you know, you had that. You had this increase. Suddenly, kids started throwing stones. Kids started doing other things. It seemed like it was, you know, there was elements within the crowd that suddenly appeared there to say, let's be more violent. Let's be more angry. Let's do all of these terrible things. And then, of course, you get a response in return, and that response is meant to scare, calm down, or cajole people into hiding away and not protesting. I find it hard because, of course, I can't see past the Israel and Palestine conflict. I can't see past the Palestinian side of it because it's such an egregious attack. So I'm surprised that more people aren't completely and utterly outraged. I think a lot of people feel like that about this conflict, that when we see the protests, we like, why are people so, you know, the protests that have been by people like Douglas Murray in in the UK have tried to claim that the protests, the peaceful protests in the UK, are terrible, nasty anti-Semites who were after saying nasty things about Jews, and that's all they really want. They're all anti-Semites. But then when you watch the protests, it's just peaceful families marching, and the violence is usually sparked by some sort of group within there. So I wouldn't be surprised if the focus on a campus like this leads to some sort of spark that sets a bit of a fire across America. And that is, I think, what people can expect as well. People can expect that if this war goes on, if the Palestinian people keep being murdered in the way that they are, that there's going to be more and more protests across America until American campuses can't remain open.
Yep. And I mean, you know, you brought up America's history with protests. I mean, it's foundationally built into the birth of this country. I believe out on that side of the pond, as it were, out in Great Britain, they refer to what I'm about to bring up as the incident on King Street. Out here, we call it the Boston Massacre. This was a pretty big deal. There was just a huge demonstration, about 300 to 400 people. They started getting into it with the British soldiers, the cops, as it were, right? The security details throwing rocks and stones, and the cops, the British soldiers, opened fire and shot several of them. There were 9 British soldiers against 300 to 400 people, and that basically paved the way for the American Revolutionary War, and here we are. So, you know, these flashpoints can turn into pretty serious incidents, and I hope whatever that may look like, that calm heads will prevail and people don't get hurt, Johnny.
I agree. I hope calm heads prevail. It's just the world is on fire right now, so it's hard to see otherwise. Thank you very much for bringing us the news, Ruckus. I'll see you again tomorrow, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. The same way you plan each detail for those moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make.
The Net Zero Con will leave millions of citizens dependent on state handouts.
It isn't a theory.
It's an agenda. There is no climate emergency. On air 24/7, this is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. My third guest on the show is really causing trouble in California. Mike Netta is the vice chair of the Rebuild California, as well as being a KABC radio host. As a veteran of distribution, sales, and marketing, Mike is now applying his business expertise to state politics in an effort to create a powerful team of volunteers and allied organizations to further the cause of conservatism in the state of California. Mike is also helping to spearhead the effort to recall Gavin Newsom. Yay. You can follow him on X at Netta Mike or visit his website rebuildcalifornia.com. Mike Netta, thank you for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show today. I'm looking forward to understanding more. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic today. You know, I feel like I should change our movement a bit to make us become a sanctuary state, because the good American citizens of California, frankly, we need sanctuary from our own government. Because it's literally ramped out of control. As I often say, look, the comedy writers went on strike, actually not for better wages. It was simply because the government of California itself is outdoing them. Fiction is literally can't improve on what the government of California is doing. It's hit the height of ridiculousness. And it's kind of sad. And people ask a lot of the time, because I know this is a global broadcast, why should we care about California? There's 49 other states. Why should we care? And Johnny, I say this quite often, that California has one really good export, and it's an export you should be greatly concerned about. And that's the export of really bad politicians. And they're bringing with them really bad ideas that many people who don't pay attention say, hey, it doesn't sound like a bad idea. The trouble is the execution of these ideas is leading to the execution of both our economic and liberties, economic rights and liberties. Back to you, Johnny.
I can definitely dig that. I come from Wales, and Wales is actually a sanctuary country as well. And we are feeling the brunt of it now. We are seeing everything ramp up to make it so that the pressure is on. And a lot of the people who suffer are the people who are right at the bottom. So firstly, is there much difference between the Governor Jerry Brown's previous approach to politics in California and that of Gavin Newsom?
Absolutely. And one of the things which is different is a simple term, common sense. Jerry Brown didn't sign everything that went in front of them. If you're not familiar with California, there's what's called a supermajority, which means that the Democrats, the party of the left, as we say here in the States, have literally a two-thirds majority in both the state Senate and the state legislature. So they can put before Gavin Newsom the most ridiculous kind of legislation. And let's face it, I wouldn't have ever started a recall of Jerry Brown because he had a little bit of logic. Let's cut through a couple things here. Everybody likes clean air. Let's get over the hyperbole that no one does it. I'm a little bit older than most. No one I ever knew has said, hey, I'm moving to Hong Kong because I want to really breathe pollution. I plan on shortening my life that way. It just doesn't work. Everybody likes water. I don't care what political party you are. Unless you're Amish, with all due deference, you probably enjoy electricity. And unless, Johnny, you or your friends own a tent company, you're probably not for the homeless. And of course, there's crime where even the criminals are going, hey, we'd rather go to jail than getting killed. All these issues common to the human experience have run amok in California. And the sad part is not only are they getting worse, we're spending a hell of a lot more to do it. To frame this for you, when Gavin Newsom came into office, the state budget, and we lose track of this, we throw these numbers around. Look, I'd be happy to be a millionaire. And Johnny, I'm guessing because we're all on TNT, you're probably not rolling in the millions. That's with an M, right? We talk about deficits with a T, they're trillions. And hey, what the heck? We've lost $1 billion. A billion is a lot of money. So let's put that in perspective. When Gavin Newsom entered office mere 6 years ago, the state budget of California, which is still pretty big, was $197 billion with a B dollars. Pretty good chunk, largest in the country. Let's roll with that for a second. Well, in just 6 short years, Gavin and his cronies, which never happened or Jerry Brown or anybody else in the history of politics, we have grown the state budget to $306 billion with a B dollars, and things have gotten worse. And of course, there's the old adage here, oh, wait, we're $70 billion with a B short this year. And if Gavin didn't sign everything in front of him for political hyperbole and continue to push causes that have nothing to do with the state of California, and cost people like me, which eventually will cost you in every state and globally a lot of money, you wouldn't be concerned. But you need to be concerned, because if you think COVID spread rapidly, whether you believe it or not, watch what happens with Gavin Newsom.
Watch what happens with liberalism. Indeed. So how is the campaign going to recall Gavin Newsom? Is it a bit of an uphill struggle?
Well, let's start with a couple things here. There's a current campaign which we're not running to recall him. What we did getting the first recall on the ballot, let me frame this because it's the first time on your show here, okay? California has something called direct democracy, too long to go into in the 60 seconds before break here, but it means that the people have a chance to express their voice. Fair enough. Now, getting a recall of a governor on the ballot ballot, which we did, was two things for everybody out there. It was the largest volunteer effort in American history and the largest initiative effort in American history, and we got it on the ballot. And it isn't as much about recalling a governor, but waking up, because we don't have mandatory voting here, waking up the public to be aware of what's going on. And maybe after you talk about other things in the world which aren't going well, which you commonly call the news, I can go a little bit deeper into it. But the campaign to get it on the ballot, which was done by volunteers and people like me, went fantastic. And we continue that with the drive we have today. Back to you, Johnny.
Awesome. I really like being on with someone who's a radio show host. You know where all of the marks are. I do like you very much. Well, okay, we'll be back after this short break. You're listening and watching TNT Today's News Talk.
Big news.
Big news.
Big news.
The biggest breaking news story.
Holy crap.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Elon Musk's social media platform X is facing bipartisan criticism in Australia and a legal challenge regarding its refusal to globally remove content related to an alleged stabbing incident, as mandated by Australia's eSafety Commissioner, Julia Imman Grant. The White House issued a statement condemning anti-Israel protests at Columbia University, where an Orthodox rabbi advised Jewish students to avoid the campus due to safety concerns.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction.
Misinformation from the truth.
From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, this is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. I'm here with Mike Nett. It's a very interesting conversation. He's a very interesting man. So what's it like being a conservative in a liberal state like California?
Well, let's cut through a couple things. California isn't as liberal, and it's like the mainstream press has decided everybody must be one or the other, right? You're either a liberal or a conservative, like you're a Baptist or a Presbyterian. You can't be just a Christian. The reality is, okay, the biggest party, I want to break down some stats for you in California so everybody understands it. And these stats are fairly common around the world. There's 10 million Democrats indeed in California, and 5.3 million Republicans. There are 6.5 million NPPs, or people that have given the proverbial New York salute. I'm on camera, so I won't go there, to both parties. But here's the reality of the situation. California has a 40 to 60% turnout in elections. And by the way, that's being optimistic. And for everybody out there, if you're just getting introduced to me, hold on. I'm a math guy in a sales body. Did a little quantum physics studying in the day. Let's just leave it at that, and an old programmer, and do a lot of stages, you could probably tell from this. But let me add a little drama to you, because we analyze these stats. Top line voter turnout doesn't mean people voted all the way down the ballot. And the reality is this. The Democrats, thanks to what we call the mainstream press, and I really hate that term, but let's just roll with it, what we tend to absorb, wants to tell us that if you are party X, you can't vote for the other party. We have a top two-tier system in California. We have direct democracy. But the reality is, in California, when you go down ballot, many of these offices are elected with as little as a 25% turnout, including members of Congress. So I like to say, really, the biggest party in California is not the Democrats, certainly not the Republicans. It's actually the party of apathy. It's people not giving a damn, because the reality is, look, until a few years ago, we only got involved in politics with the recall. I'm a veteran, as you read from other things. But you look around and go, what the hell is happening? There are homeless people literally in every corner. People flee here from Syria and turn around and go back because the conditions are better, okay? We have a gallon of gas that cost $1.50 more than the rest of the country. Double, if you're not familiar with In-N-Out Burger, get there, literally cost in double digits. A McDonald's Happy Meal, if you want to make a kid happy with a hamburger, is up to $20. And it goes on and on. So it's not working. But the average person is not into politics, not into the core of what's happening. I get it. They got other stuff to do. So the drive of the movement that we do today is not really to overcome liberalism, if you will. It's to overcome apathy. You have to give a damn. You have to vote. And I encourage everybody out there. That's the biggest problem. The problem is non-participation. The problem is much of the information that we get today, we get from one side or the other. So what we do at Rebuild California, what we did with the recall of Gavin Newsom by getting it on the ballot was to set an election in an off year. This is a big secret. I know you don't have more than, say, 100,000 listeners, so don't tell anybody. We weren't that concerned with getting Gavin recalled as much as we were to bring awareness to the political process. And the reason, well, you can see why I do radio, look at me. But the reality is, in addition to radio, doing radio and Twitter, at Netter Mike, shameless self-promotion, what we're trying to do is make people aware not only of what's going on, but what they can do about it. There's petitions you can sign. There's political movements that you can get involved in with your cell phone from your house. There are things you can do, because if you would spend less time looking at your television set, which less and less people do, maybe watching dog and cat videos, not that we all haven't done it, on your phone, and more time looking out the window and wondering how you got where you were today, it's because, are you ready, Johnny? This is breaking news. It's about money and power. It's all about money and power. It is not about the good of the people. And longer than we have to go on today, we voted, for example, the death penalty in. It was on the ballot twice before Gavin came into office. We said, look, when somebody does really horrible things to another human being, they ought to suffer the same horrible fate. Well, we, the people of California, voted for that. Gavin came into office and said, you asked the difference earlier, him and Jerry Brown. He said, I'm just going to dismantle the death penalty. I'm going to dismantle the gas chambers. I'm going to shut down prisons so we have nowhere to put these criminals. And I don't care, again, if you're right, left, liberal, conservative, Republican, or Democrat, you start to give a damn when your car is broken into, when a friend of yours is killed, when it affects a relative. Gavin Newsom came into office and ran on the platform that he would appoint a homeless czar. For everybody out there, what does that mean? That means one throat to choke, so we understand where all this money going? Well, as you're probably well aware of, if not, Johnny, you will be soon, that the report came out the other day that the last 3 years, California has spent $24 billion with a B, okay, on homelessness. And this just in, it got worse. Yes, indeed, we spent $24 billion. We have no idea where the money went. But if I gave you $24 billion or $24 million or 24,000 to improve TNT or anything else, and you didn't do well with it, you would deserve to be fired. But we don't know, because Gavin even turned down signing the bill. One of the things he didn't sign, to bring a homeless czar in. Broken promises, money and power, changing kids' sex, the list just goes on and on. But the average Californian, the average American, the average world citizen doesn't really care about that. What do they care about? That their lives aren't affected. And RebuildCalifornia.com, at Netter Mike on Twitter, shameless plug. Well, actually, it's a shameful plug, but I'm going to roll with it, is what we do. I put out a newsletter we just started putting out last week that's blasting to 100,000 people to try to give you the information as to what you can do to make changes.
Wow. So what's your plans in the near future, Mike? We've got 30 seconds left. What are you up to now?
Well, my plans are really good to go over to Mexico, come back without my passport, and declare myself under duress. So you ought to let me in for free and give me $10,000 a week. That's my backup plan. It's simply to put out a newsletter. I do a show on Friday nights on KABC, amongst others, called Outrage, KABC 790. What we ask you to do is follow, contribute to Rebuild California. Follow me at Netter Mike. Subscribe to my newsletter. And let's gather together to take back which should be our rights, our country, rebuildcalifornia.com, at Netter Mike on Twitter. My plans after the next show are lunch.
You, my friend, are a force to be reckoned with, a true warrior. Thanks for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show. Really appreciate it, Mike. I hope to speak to you again sometime soon.
Oh, you will. Talk to you soon.
Awesome. Excellent. Wow, what a man Mike is. I like him very much. He can come again. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
The challenges our planet's animals are facing sometimes feel a bit heavy.
Animals haven't eaten in a day, 2 days. They haven't drank anything. They're cold, they're dehydrated.
As soon as we started our descent, everywhere I could see was mud. Just absolutely mud.
So the country has been in prolonged drought so long, it was like a tinderbox waiting to go up.
Okay, very heavy. Each of us wants to be part of the solution, and we can be. Remember that there's good happening right now. At home.
All right, we were able to get into your unit, and we have all four of your cats. So,
okay.
And around the world. For any animal in any disaster. So let's focus on that, right? Be part of the solution, one rescue at a time. Search ifa.org/disaster-ready.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help. And Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Speaking on the issues that impact. Johnny Vedmore
on today's News Talk TNT.
Well, Mike Netter, everybody, a force to be reckoned with indeed. I'm looking across over at the chat, and little Carol says he talks nearly as much as me. Yeah, I think he does. He's amazing. We're a very interesting character. Right, welcome back. And I got one more guest for you. This show has gone by so quickly. Thanks to everybody in the chat for getting involved and for being really always just, you're always so interactive, and I really appreciate it. So this next guest, Ivorgi, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it out loud, Ivorgi. And I met via TNT before I was actually working for the station. He is a musician and a social commentator who started to produce music in January 2015 after being diagnosed with ASD, autism spectrum disorder, the year before. If you're into trance and dance, then he's someone who has you covered. You can find him on ivorgi.com. That's spelled E-V-O-O-R-G-I. You can also find his music on YouTube Music, Apple Music, Amazon, SoundCloud, etc. So, welcome on the Johnny Vedmore Show today. Really glad you could join me. I've been making music personally since the late 90s, and we grew up during a time when you could shoot to stardom with a one-hit wonder. How do you think the music industry has changed since we were younger?
I think it's become a lot more noisy, to be honest. There's a lot of people out there that try the one-hit wonders, I suppose, and sort of chuck a lot of the music out, and I think it drowns out, sadly, a lot of the talent that's out there. So unfortunately, a lot of good people, I think they give up, actually, because you have to have some tenacity in doing this thing, to be honest. And I think a lot of people just go, oof, this is too much hassle, too much work, and just give up. I mean, I've had a little bit of a break from it, because obviously I've been involved in other things, but yeah, I think a lot of the people, it's just, no, I can't be, you've got to be dedicated to it and keep going and keep going, and eventually you start to break through. I'm not a star by any means, obviously, but I've made a lot more headway than most. So, but again, I'm very tenacious. I just don't give up on things. You know me.
I do the same. Personally, I've moved more away from guitar over the past few years, and I've been slowly drawn into synth. What's your favorite way to start writing songs these days? What do you use?
I actually use Logic. So basically, I'll sit there, have a bit of an idea in my head, and then off I go. And sometimes I can literally scrap it. Other times, it goes well. It can be a complete bumble when you finish and you think, no, I've gone down this road, I'm gonna pop it in the bin, I just tend to go with the flow. I think if you're just creative, you sort of jump in there, go for it, see how you I just feel the track. If it starts to feel good and I'm getting a vibe from it, then that's where I go. And I think proper music, if I'm honest, I think you feel what you're doing. It's not so much what you hear, it's about what you feel, And I think you'll resonate with that, you'll understand.
I do. When I get onto my little synth keyboard and I start to make stuff nowadays, I can tell within the first like 10, 15 minutes whether or not what I'm working on is going to be something that I love myself. And then I just like, if I don't, then I just learn now, just take it away, start again, let's have a clean slate.
Yeah.
So you talk about a diagnosis of ASD, so being autistic, of course, on the spectrum, which a lot of people are. I mean, the rates of autism, of course, have risen massively since the 80s, especially when it was once 1 in 3,000, and now it's like 1 in 30 on average, which suggests that there's something external that's of course having an effect on people. You got into music composition and music production via that. Was it the soothing aspect of music which drew you in, or was it your want for heavy bass to cloud the noise that got you hooked?
And I don't want sympathy here, so I'll sort of relay where this went. So effectively, I'm a fully qualified electrician, ran several businesses, started a few of my own. I just couldn't settle in society. I really, really struggle with society in general. And unfortunately, what actually drove me into this is I tried to commit suicide in 2013. So I was then, there's some serious issues in my life here. So I needed to make a change. After having several arguments with a few professionals who said you need to wind down and look at different aspects of your life, I was like, well, where do I go with things? What happens? And weirdly, I just jumped on a door. And initially I was like, phew, this is a bit of a nightmare. But I stuck with it. And then I found a calm with it. It's a bit of a mixture of both. It's sort of it's very calming, but also I enjoy all the vibe side of it. And I found it helped with my autism in general. And like you say, I've grown up fighting with many things because back then there was no sort of support or anything. You had to get on with stuff yourself. So I thought, look, I've got to find a way out of this. So I basically jumped into sort of music, and I also work with a few people. So I do the engineering side as well, which I don't really promote. So I do a bit of mixing and mastering and stuff like that too. And I've not really looked back, to be honest. And then weirdly, it's transitioned into sort of having a voice, and I'm very grateful for all the support that I get from many, many people. To where I am now, really, where I question the narrative, sort of, and I'm myself, and that's the difference. The difference is now what you see is what you get. I'm me. I'm not hiding society. I'm not having to perform as they wish, and it's helped me massively. I'm not a massive people lover, so weirdly, me coming on here is quite an interesting thing. But, I am myself, and I know a lot of veterans, a lot of people in mental health, and I talk to them daily. We have, like, buddy checks, stuff like that as well. It's created a whole ecosystem of some absolutely fantastic people who I've come across. So it's one of the most, scary times in a weird way, but also one of the most ways where I've become free from the system and everything that, is expected of you, and met some amazing people through it, mate. I mean, it's totally taken me in a direction that I never thought I would go. And I think my simplistic, logic, it resonates with many people. I'll just say what I want to say, and I don't really hide the fact, you know. And I'm either liked or I'm not, and I'm comfortable with that. So
you,
yeah,
you were talking about you picked up a door, which for people who don't understand is go on. Digital, do you want to explain?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's a digital audio workstation. So basically, it's a piece of software. So it you know, you've got like your music instruments, etc. A digital audio workstation, self-taught by the way, is basically where you can create music with, like you say, synths. You can use different sort of types of synths. There's many amazing things now. I mean, it's just getting better and better as you go along. But basically, it's computer software, and you create the music on that software. And then obviously, you know, you can add vocals if you wish, or whatever you want, really. I mean, the world's your oyster. Because I'm self-taught, I'm probably not where people like who a great guy I've chatted to is DJ Lange and co. You know, they're fantastic. They've grown up with all this, probably in the old generation. I'm probably newer generation later on. But yeah, it's an amazing bit of software. It takes a lot of learning. And I think if somebody does decide to do it, you know, it is a bit of a learning curve. Don't give up. Keep going. You know, eventually when you crack it and you sort these things out, it's an incredible journey, really. It really is. It's amazing. So
there is, it's just a little step over all of that, you know, learning how plugins work, learning how the software works. And I can understand, I can dig what you're saying about not only like creating the music, but then mixing, mastering, producing, you know, actually doing the whole process. They all have different benefits to your, I'd say to your soul, to your ability to feel like you're creating. It's the same with articles as well. I find that, you know, I, and with content, I create the content. I've written an article and I make it into a documentary. Then I do all the soundtrack, I do all of the graphics. And if each section of that has its own like soothing nature, it makes me feel like, oh, I'm achieving.
Yeah, definitely.
And all of those things have points where they're just they're cliff drops of you have to learn all of this information, but as soon as you know it, you know it. And all you need for music really is rhythm and some sort of ear to be able to, because even if you just create music that only you like, you will be doing something that makes you feel good, and that's what the most important thing is.
It's very it's very powerful to just let yourself go and sort of, you know, don't be afraid to sort of delve in. I mean, I'm always of the opinion that people don't know what they like till you show them, you know, and you can be very difficult. It's very difficult to get into the mainstream if you don't do the mainstream, obviously. But then I think if you're authentic, people also appreciate that. So it might take you longer, but obviously what you're doing is pretty authentic. You're not some fabricated one hit wonder, as it were. So my advice really is just step in there and give it all your best.
Yeah, so, indeed. I'm looking across at the chat though, and I can see Wild Heather's got our number. She says, "Men and gadgets, tech love gadgetry." She's got a big laughing face. She's laughing at us. I tell you, she's laughing at us.
It's true.
I don't blame her.
Boys and toys.
We do love it. So who were the people who inspired you with music, including regular people, famous people, and infamous people, if you want?
I think I've seen, I'm quite exploratory, so I look at things. So there's just general people I look at. I think very often, because I'm a bit of a loner, I grew up literally at the doorstep of Progress, which at the time a lot of people won't know where that is, but it was a lot of dancing. So there's people like Boy George there on the proper decks. So these were like proper vinyl mixing and everything else. I'm like, this is incredible. But you're on your own, you're minding your own business, just listening and absorbing the music. He was incredible. And another one who I've just seen recently who is quite an inspiration is Armin van Buuren. He's, you know, you can see the love in his music. And even though he's very, very commercial now, he still loves his music. You can see it. And especially live, when you see him live, it's just incredible. And again, you get that feeling from the music. It's you know, that's where it's gone for me. So I would say several DJs, really. There's many. Boy George does stick in particular because he did, I wouldn't say he created the music, but he mixed the music very well. So it's a bit of a mixture, really, whereas Armin creates it. So it's been a long-standing sort of getting introduced to that. But music is incredible when you get into it. It's just a way of life, really. It's just, yeah, great.
You can't quite get out of it, can you? It's really
it's a bit addictive.
Yeah, I know. I just always I'm very lucky to have that. I started playing guitar when I was about 17 properly. And then I kind of got to this point now where I'm like, oh, I think I'll just go across to other instruments and just try other things out, because once you kind of got the feeling, got the rhythm, got the you don't feel scared about going into the next realm of music. So how do you distribute your music nowadays? This can be a good tip for anybody listening who's making their own music.
Yeah, so I have my own Beatport label, which most people don't have. I use an independent one called Ditto. There are many out there. I found them to be very helpful. You know, if ever I have a problem, they've dealt with it immediately if I want some bits and bobs doing. So you're not quite what I would say the forefront of it. Well, you can be if you want to, but they tend to deal with all the airy-fairy stuff. Obviously pay a subscription for that, but they release it to everywhere you need to get it to. And you might not get there straight away with everything because obviously you're unknown. I would say just so Ivorgi, for instance, is I Groove Backwards. It's just being clever with you know, your stuff and trying to create a bit of a brand for yourself, or whatever you relate to or you want to push, build a bit of a brand for yourself that people can associate with. Work with your labels, you know, they're very helpful. They're out to promote you, obviously. Yeah, they're the ones I use. I've tried a few others in the past. I haven't got the time and the inclination to deal with stuff myself. I probably could, but nah, I'm not interested in all that side. I just want to make the music, and I'm quite happy for somebody else to deal with it, you know. But yeah, there's some great things out there. I say I mix and master all my own stuff. I think it's pretty rare that people do. It's not always perfect, but I'm learning every day, you know. So the way I look at it is, don't be afraid either if you think it's not perfect. Do the 80% rule. If you're 80% there and it sounds pretty good, get it out there. Don't faff around. Nothing's perfect. People will love it. They'll hate it. You'll get mixed messages. Don't be afraid by it. Just enjoy it.
Agreed. Just keep moving forward. I completely agree. And I also use Ditto as well as a way to get out my stuff. Yes, I do. But I've had one. I did have one minor Epstein-related issue. Would you believe that I had an Epstein-related issue with my music and Ditto music? I actually used just a sample out of a deposition with Jeffrey Epstein, where they asked about the shape of his genitalia, and they said I wasn't allowed to use that, and I said censorship. No, I didn't. I said no, that's probably fair enough, and I released two different versions, one outside the distribution indeed. So what's your advice for aspiring musicians? It's just that, it's just get out there, do it, you know, try your hardest and see what you get. Don't worry about perfection. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, totally. Don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid to chuck stuff out. I mean, you know, some of these, there's some really out there sort of people who've done absolutely amazing because they're different. Don't be afraid to be different. It's going to probably take a bit longer. But yeah, definitely move forward. Definitely have a stab at it. Don't give up. You know, it's a really difficult industry because of the noise. And there's a lot of very arrogant people you'll come across. Just ignore them. Do your own thing. You know, the music industry is full of big heads, really. But just be yourself. Don't conform to what they want. Be yourself. Be authentic. Give it a go. What have you got to lose? You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose, you know. And even if you don't get anywhere, you're sharing something fun with the world, you know. It why not just share it with people? If that's your gift to the world, isn't it? So if you can give that, give it. Why not?
So where can people can find your music at? Ivorgi.com, yeah?
Yeah, you can pretty much find my name on, if you just Google it, really. I've got my own Google panel and all sorts nowadays. So I've closed Facebook because I don't really agree with Facebook. So I need to adjust those links, actually. I must do some web tidying. But yeah, it's pretty much you can Google me, you'll find pretty much everything there, really. So yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks for coming on the show and speaking about the subject, man. It's so close to your heart. It was really good to catch up with you and stay in touch, my friend.
Same with you. You take care, my friend.
Awesome.
Congratulations, well, by the way.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you listening. That was a jam-packed show for sure. Thanks to my guest, Ivorgi, Parallel Mike, Fox Screen, and Mike Netta, who's an unstoppable force. I think they're all unstoppable forces there. I like it. All of them are amazing in their own right. And of course, thanks to everyone in the chat, Too Wild, Have a Little Carol, Just a Bloke Who Asks Questions, Dark Commission, Prince of Persia, Hope, Love, and Peace, everybody, Lorianne, of course, Penelope Pitstock's Ghost, all of you have been wonderful again. Until we see each other again, stay safe, stay wide awake, don't go changing. Thanks for all your support. Enjoy the Mark Morano Show up next. See you tomorrow on today's News Talk TNT.